Thank you very much, Romilly. As you can see, we're a well-orchestrated group here. I must say I'm pleased to see the interest in the room, and we can always rely on CEDA, can't we, to get a good audience. So thank you very much, everybody, for attending. I also join with Paula and Romilly in acknowledging we meet on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people and pay my respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. And Romilly, welcome to you in particular. It's my first opportunity to say that, and I look forward to working with you. Welcome also to Distinguished Guest Minister Roberts. It's good to have you with us. All of the State Advisory Committee members of CEDA, all of our members and our guests, thank you all for attending. This is a most important day in the life of infrastructure in Western Australia. It's the first opportunity we've had for a public outing of Infrastructure WA supported by legislation. It's also a day that many here have looked forward to for a long time and have supported the state government, which recognised the need for a body such as Infrastructure WA from the time when they were in opposition. Probably the first most important day for Infrastructure WA then was when the Premier introduced the bill into the Parliament to establish this body. In his second reading speech, the Premier made a number of important comments, and I'd just like to quote a few of them as they demonstrate the vision he and the government have for the work of this body, and also, given Romilly's here, just to give you a little bit of a context about his perspective on how we will work with Infrastructure Australia. So the Premier said, amongst quite a lot in his second reading speech, and I quote, "Infrastructure is key to driving our economy and creating jobs. Be it roads, rail lines, electricity and water services, schools, hospitals, or cultural and sporting facilities, infrastructure is a catalyst for transforming and shaping our state and enhancing the livability of our communities. Therefore, the government's decision-making in relation to infrastructure should be based on robust and evidence-based planning and not on short-term political gains. Quality infrastructure planning and decision-making based on sound analysis should not be left solely to politics." It's clear that infrastructure decision-making in the state, still quoting the Premier, has at times been based on inadequate planning or information, resulting in poor outcomes, costly project delays or cancellations. Infrastructure investment has long been held hostage to political cycles. This reduces certainty and undermines the confidence of stakeholders, which ultimately impacts investment in this state. We need to ensure taxpayers' money is invested wisely to maximise the value and return of our infrastructure program. Through providing independent and expert advice, Infrastructure WA will help us to better plan for the future. Its advice will support better decision-making on infrastructure. And while the establishment of Infrastructure WA, and this is really important, will support more informed decision-making, the government of the day will always be the ultimate decision-maker. What Infrastructure WA will do, however, is make governments more accountable for their decisions. And I stop quoting the Premier there. Really important words in terms of giving a context and the government's commitment to how they see Infrastructure WA. And with respect to how Infrastructure WA will interact with Infrastructure Australia, I'll continue quoting the Premier for a minute from the second reading speech where he said, "Infrastructure WA will assist in reviewing and coordinating the provision of information and submissions to Infrastructure Australia. This will ensure that the information provided to Infrastructure Australia, including business cases, and are strategically aligned, coordinated, robust and of a consistently high quality." He also noted that IWA will not seek to duplicate the Infrastructure Australia process that is required for most major projects that are seeking more than $100 million in funding from the Commonwealth. And those last points are really important. Just to pick up what Romilly said in her comments, we're not seeking to create another bureaucracy here. We're seeking to improve the quality of coordinated information on the infrastructure program in Western Australia. So let's have a little look at what Infrastructure Australia will be doing in a little more detail. And I must say, as I said at the opening, it's pleasing that the legislation is through the Parliament and the Act was recently assented to by the Governor. The governance and operating arrangements for the body have been in development now for some months. Together with a small team in the Department of Premier and Cabinet, a number of whom are here today, and I say thank you for all you have done in this timeframe, we've been forming recommendations on board members, remembering that the board has 10 members, three of whom comprise the Directors General of the Department of Premier and Cabinet and Planning, and the Under-Treasurer. We had 151 expressions of interest for the remaining six positions, so there's strong interest in the work of Infrastructure WA. We've also been getting things in order so we can advertise the CEO role. Much of that, I'm pleased to say, is now done, and I'm hopeful we'll be advertising this role within the next fortnight. With the Act in place, we are planning on commencing operations in August, and while we still don't have a board formally in place, we have a board meeting set for the middle of August. You've got to be slightly ahead of the game. And as you can see from this slide, the Infrastructure WA Act specifies a wide range of functions for us. If you read through the Act, there are actually 12 individual functions, including a catch-all of issues pertaining to or allowing the Premier to refer to us for advice on any matter relating to infrastructure. So our scope is wide. The development of the 20-year strategic plan is the first priority. And again, just coming back to the Premier's comments at the second reading speech, he said, Infrastructure WA's immediate task, and indeed one of its most important tasks, will be to develop a 20-year state infrastructure strategy. Long-term strategic and integrated planning is the cornerstone of effective infrastructure policy. For too long, our state has suffered from the lack of a long-term strategy for infrastructure to support our economy, enable job creation, and build better communities. Now, in compiling this strategy, which will be our first piece of work, we think it's going to take quite a bit of time, we are to identify and recommend significant projects and programs that will need to be undertaken in that 20-year timeframe. We are to look at the need for new infrastructure, as much as we are required to look at how we can get more out of existing infrastructure and how policy and regulatory reform can help in meeting future infrastructure needs in a smarter and more efficient way. The 20-year plan will cover all state agencies, and any infrastructure proposal which will impact the state's debt. Once the 20-year plan is done, phase two, as shown on this chart, will see us look at major infrastructure proposals and to monitor progress with the implementation of the strategy. And the Act requires us to review the 20-year plan each 5 years. The development of an infrastructure strategy is going to provide many benefits, including for industry in providing a greater awareness of the pipeline of projects that are being planned. Industry, many of you in this room, have long identified the need for a coordinated and integrated plan for the state's infrastructure development. This started as long ago as the early 2000s and was responded to by the Carpenter government back in that time through a draft green paper. That process, however, ended when the Carpenter government lost the 2008 election. So we're back. In addition to the 20-year strategy, the state government will need to develop annually a 10-year state infrastructure program. So out of the 20-year strategy with all of the programs, focus comes back to a 10-year program. This program will include specific details of significant infrastructure investments for the budget year and the three forward years, as well as an overview of expected significant infrastructure needs and challenges over the remaining 6 years of that 10-year period, and with options on how those particular needs will be addressed. And as I mentioned earlier, Infrastructure WA will coordinate the provision of information and submissions to Infrastructure Australia and advise the government on funding options for significant infrastructure. In terms of better quality planning, the quality of the 20-year infrastructure strategy, ladies and gentlemen, will be determined in large part by the contributions of all of the agencies who will be involved. While there are examples of good strategic planning being undertaken by agencies across our public sector, I think it's recognised there is scope for improvement in both the quality and completeness of those plans across the whole sector. What is missing currently is a cross-sector, whole-of-government view and assessment of infrastructure needs and priorities for the whole state. This will assist the development of that particular comprehensive assessment of the infrastructure need will assist the forward planning work of agencies and guide investments for industry. Infrastructure WA is required by the Act to identify the economic, social and environmental objectives which the state's infrastructure needs will be, against which the state's infrastructure needs will be assessed. In doing so, guidance will be provided to the agencies on key parameters which will shape those 20-year plans to ensure, for instance, that consistent demographic, inflation, growth, wage parameters, etc., are used. We will also be working with Infrastructure Australia and with the Treasury in ensuring that we get as consistent a set of assessment requirements which will guide the identification of new projects to be included in the infrastructure strategy so that there's not duplication of work across agencies. The Act represents a step change in transparency of infrastructure planning and decision making. These are key drivers in the establishment of IWA. The Act requires many documents to be published or tabled in the Parliament. These include the State Infrastructure Strategy itself, the Government's response to the strategy, the State Infrastructure Program, guidelines on the assessment of major infrastructure proposals, summary of assessment proposals, and the report on the implementation strategy. This level of transparency stands IWA apart from the other infrastructure bodies in Australia. And it's not intended, I might say to you, that the IWA will operate in isolation of government. While IWA is independent by the statute, it will need to understand and work closely with government in order to be effective and to have influence. And I'll just let those words resonate with you for a minute. Disclosure of interest issues will be important for everybody involved, as and we will be subject to FOI requirements, which will operate as normal. As I mentioned, we are going to be highly collaborative, highly consultative. It's the only way we'll get our work done. I've already met with a number of senior public servants and discussed just what our needs will be in working with them. And as I mentioned earlier, the quality of our output will be determined by how they contribute into our 20-year plan and the identification of the major projects. The Act also requires us to be highly collaborative and highly consultative. So we will be. Having a clear understanding of the infrastructure needs and activities of the private sector will also be essential. We saw the disadvantages to the whole community that flow to the economy from disconnects in these areas during the last resource boom. State infrastructure being undertaken at peak times of private investment and state infrastructure being delivered too late to meet the needs of private activity, particularly through the Pilbara, were particularly evident during that period of time. We will be looking not only at the needs of the public sector in developing the infrastructure strategy and the identification of projects, but we will also be looking at what is the private sector proposing to do in the infrastructure space as we frame that strategy. One of the things we will be seeking to advise government on is the optimum time for undertaking infrastructure. And that's critically important. And I'll just finish with this slide because it highlights what we're dealing with. So the green section is what the private sector does. And the red is what the state does. And the blue, if I'm seeing the colour right, is a mix of what the Commonwealth and local government does. So you can see in terms of state infrastructure spend relative to the private sector, it's had different weightings in terms of its impact across the years. We'll probably never forget the year, I think it's 2011-12 on this chart, when the private sector was simply red hot. And yet our level of infrastructure spend at the state level didn't change much from historical levels. The other interesting aspect from this chart, if you have a look at recent years compared with this current year, we're still edging back from that peak of private sector infrastructure spend during that boom in the commodity cycle. The key issue here is that while the public sector infrastructure spend might look relatively small in the context of the total spend, in terms of the impact public sector expenditure on infrastructure has across the community, its direct benefits, but most particularly its indirect external benefits, are far greater than most private sector investment. That's why it's so critically important to get the decisions around public infrastructure spending right. Because if you don't have the right hospitals, if you don't have the right power system, if you don't have the right water system, if you don't have the right transport system, supporting and housing system, and I could go on and go on and go on, if you don't have those issues right, you won't support optimal outcomes with the private sector. And that's why this relationship is so important. Thank you very much.